Welcome to episode 2 of our Empowering Women in Legal Support Roles series. In today's episode, Stephanie Kalinka and Kirsty are going to share their unique experiences and perspectives on navigating the legal realm, embracing innovation and disruptions in the legal industry. Kalinka, would it be fair to say that the fact that you are working for one of South Africa's largest law firms in this non-standard role is an indication that law firms are changing? We are embracing the fact that we do not all have to work the same way that we have always worked. We can be a little bit brave in the roles we give people, the responsibilities we give people, and the value we attribute to people and the roles that they play. Would you think then that part of this change is that more skill sets are going to become necessary within a legal practice?
Rieta, you're absolutely correct. There is no doubt that law firms are placing more and more value on non-legal skill sets in creating essentially a cohort of lawyers who are not only capable of dealing with legal technical problems, but who are groomed to focus on clients' needs holistically and from a business angle. There are many international law firms who consistently hire legal specialists in non-legal roles across really a host of business areas. So including financial department, the business development department, and even the IT department. The reason being because we realize that clients already see us as legal experts. But what sets us apart from our competitors is the fact that we provide insights into specific sectors and areas of business relevant to our clients' needs. And we can essentially offer them with so much more than just legal advice.
That is true. And I've seen it increasingly over the last few years that clients are willing to reach out to their law firms to ask them for advice on what technology to apply in their internal legal teams or how to structure their knowledge content or how to structure their information flow. And we've also seen clients try to leverage what we're doing and asking to simply use the services that we have available internally. I think very clearly there is an appreciation of the fact that your lawyers are more than reference books that might tell you what the law is, and that they can help you and be part of your journey as a client, as an internal lawyer to a client, rather, to understand how to deliver your service to your stakeholders in an effective way. And it's quite exciting for us to be brought into the client's fold and into the client's whole world so that we can understand exactly what they're facing, because it brings us closer together. We say that we want to deliver a service that really meets our clients' needs. We cannot possibly deliver that without understanding our clients' reality, how they work, the technology that they have available, the systems that they have available, the expectations that rests on them. And if you really want to hold your client close, if you can deliver for them a solution, not just a task, you're much more likely to be that valued partner that the client will come back to over and over and over. Steph, can I ask you, as the youngest of the professionals on the call today, have you heard of skill sets and roles that are increasingly being sought after within the legal context? Or can we phrase the question slightly differently as well? Amongst your peers, are there skill sets that they are interested in because they think it might give them leverage in order to access new and innovative and non-standard roles within the legal context?
Certainly, Rieta. And I think from a South African law firm perspective, like many other global law firms, there is a continuously evolving environment and we need to adapt to the changes in technology, some of the roles and the skills that I think personally, and which I've heard also from peers, that law firms may invest in more heavily going forward, most likely would include like legal tech specialists, data privacy and cyber security experts, also from a finance and banking perspective, and maybe even broader from a corporate perspective, environmental and sustainability lawyers, as well as like your legal project managers and data analysts, and all of these roles, and I haven't limited them only to the roles that I specifically mentioned, but this speaks to recent developments in the legal industry and essentially where we are headed.
I agree. In fact, the KM team has recently appointed their first data scientist, and it is just mind-boggling what it does to a team's efficiency and innovation and energy to bring in a skill that's non-standard, a way of thinking that doesn't align with the way we always do it. It enhances and enriches everybody's experience. So I very much agree with you. But Kirsty, the majority of our lawyers, the majority of the people in a legal role, in a law firm, remains currently the standard, the fee earner role. So from an opportunity perspective, that is still the most likely role for a person qualified as a lawyer to take on. Do you think 10 years from now, that will still be the position?
Yes, I do. I don't think the traditional lawyer is going anywhere. And I'm speaking more from a real estate point of view. With legislation like the Deeds Registries Act and the Sectional Titles Act, the traditional lawyer is not going anywhere because documents in the real estate field need to be signed by conveyancers and notaries. So the traditional role is going to change, though. I mean, if I think about what we were doing or how we were going about our work 10 or 15 years ago with manual applications to a municipality, if I tell one of the candidate attorneys nowadays that you need to manually apply for clearance figures and certificates from a municipality, they're going to think that I've grown a second head because they are so used to the automated versions that we make use of today. 10 years from now, we're probably not going to be lodging transfers of properties or bond registrations. We're going to be doing it electronically. They are already busy with the Electronic Deeds Registries Bill, and it's only a matter of time before we are able to simply send our registration request to the deeds office electronically. So the role is going to change. It's definitely going to. It has already changed a lot in the last two decades, and I definitely foresee further growth in the future. I think other departments like dispute resolution with the litigation side have also seen a lot of changes in the last decade. For example, their electronic submission of documents. 10, 15 years ago, you had to do that manually. So the traditional lawyer role will change. And if you're not able to keep up with the electronic advancements, you're going to be left behind.
I hear you. You think it is the content of the role that will change rather than the base structure where there is a lawyer writing a fee pursuant to having done a client service delivery. I understand. And of course, unless you're in an NGO or a nonprofit organization, ultimately there has to be an income stream. And unless we find a structure where lawyers earn money on some basis other than their time is billed out to a client, or their service offering is billed out to a client, then someone has to earn the income for the whole organization to survive. And that makes sense. So it's fewer roles that are available on an alternative basis, but there are roles and they are growing in scope. There are more of them. There are more types of skills that might entitle you or enable you to enter into the legal profession than previously was the case. We've heard about project managers. We've heard about data scientists. We've heard about operational leaders. But are there skills that you think people can actively pursue in order to increase their chances of given access to one of these additional or non-standard roles?
So certainly a good addition to add to your legal skills qualifications would be any kind of degree or course in general business management. Alternatively, something focused on technology and data management would be beneficial as well. Both these areas would allow lawyers the opportunity of providing better risk and crisis management services to clients and also provide a deep insight, at the click of a button, given the volumes of electronic data we see today. We definitely need experts in this space, and it's going to become something more prevalent over the next decade, I have no doubt. If nothing else, read the news and troll the internet to see what sectors are likely to cause the biggest disruption over the next decade and go and study that.
That's sound advice. You know, I've heard of people looking for prompt engineers. That clearly must reference generative AI and the ability to utilize those tools in order to actively create a product. In other words, you're not just researching the state of the law, you're actively creating a first draft of a shareholders agreement or a first draft of an opinion. And so very clearly, these roles are changing and there's always more that's evolving. It's unlikely to become the majority of the people in a law firm are prompt engineers or data scientists or even knowledge lawyers, but there is an increasing proportion of them. And I think Kalinka's advice is very sound. Keep a lookout for what's going on. And if there is something that matches your side hustle and something you're really interested in, if you're great at getting the absolute best out of a generative AI platform, probably worth your while to explore what prompt engineering is, because the likelihood is that law firms will start looking for prompt engineers at some point in time.
Join us again next time, where these inspirational women share more about their careers, personal achievements, and more.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.